Are you ready to create a life you crave? Let's spin that doom loop of negativity into an upward success cycle and start living lucky.
Good morning.
I'm Jana.
I'm Jason.
And we are living lucky. You are too.
Because you're listening to the Living Lucky Podcast.
Do you know what the two biggest nations in the world are?
Ooh, I know. Procrastination and imagination.
We were at a webinar and the guy on stage asked this question to the audience. Of course, there was silence. And then Jason literally did exactly what he just did now. Oh, I know. It's imagination. Imagination is the biggest nation in the world. And of course, the guy on stage, he looks at Jason and said, "You just ruined my story because I wanted to make a point that it's procrastination. For most people, it is procrastination."
Yes.
Now, when you're living lucky, it's imagination. But today, we are talking about procrastination. And isn't that funny how the 99% of people in the world tend to go to that side of the spectrum? They're really opposites. Procrastination and imagination are really on the opposite sides of the spectrum, but most people live in the procrastination world. And why?
Well, one of the reasons why is I think it offers a way out. Like it says, okay, I'm going to shorten the amount of time that I give myself on the task, even though I know it's ready. Like, I've known about it for months. I will shorten the time that I give myself because I'm allowing fear to step in. I'm allowing doubt to step in. I'm allowing uncertainty to step in.
Yeah, and some people say, well, I can get it done a lot quicker if I just wait till the last minute.
I work so much better under pressure.
I know. So many people say that. And it is true for some. However, the real reason that we procrastinate is we are managing our emotions.
Yes.
Deep within us, there is an emotion that we don't want to face. And so we put it off. We put it off. We put it off. And sometimes we put off our dreams. Sometimes we put off a project. Sometimes we put off a conversation.
Yeah. And we prioritize other things over the task that needs to get done.
We rationalize
it. Because we think we're going to find more pleasure in accomplishment there than solving the pain of having the new task accomplished.
Or possibly facing failure.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly facing rejection. Possibly facing, oh, maybe I made a mistake.
Or just
possibly facing all of those, ooh.
Or the uncertainty of newness. I mean, if it's easy to do, sometimes we just jump right in it.
It is ego-driven.
Yeah.
I think procrastination is ego-driven. Would you agree with that? I mean, that just came to me right now.
Yeah, I do. But I think that's under the covers. Like, that's the under the fitted sheet even. Like, it's something that you have to peel back the layers to get to.
Under the fitted sheet.
Yeah.
That's where the mattress cover is.
Yeah. So that's where you have...
Which some people skip on that one.
Yeah. Or that's where the mattress is. But that's the deeper level. Like, I don't think we look at it on top going, oh, my ego's keeping me from doing this. Because a lot of us want to say, oh, it's my ego that wants me to do it.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks here. I think that it is the ego that stops us. For me, anyway, sometimes I put off things because I feel, oh, I'm not ready, or it's not going to be good enough. Whatever I come up with right now is not going to be good enough, and I don't want to disappoint myself. I don't want to disappoint people around me. I don't want to feel like a fool for even trying this project because it's not going to be at the standard that I expect. It's dropping. There's so many little things. And that's just for me. Those are the feelings that start coming up with me. And I look at some of the projects that I have procrastinated on. And a lot of times it feels I am unclear with the outcome I am wanting, Or, it, like I said, it feels too big. It feels too big.
Yeah. But, and that's for
or
me.
Or it makes me feel vulnerable.
Vulnerable. That's so vulnerability and uncertainty are a scary combination a lot of times.
Yes.
And that's, I kept thinking about what is it that I procrastinate on the most or historically have procrastinated on the most? And it's difficult conversations. It's conflict.
You definitely procrastinate conflict.
So when you deal back into that, it's not that I want things to remain calm and fun and exciting. The underneath the covers, underneath that fitted sheet is that I'm uncertain of how people are going to react. I'm uncertain of what the outcome is going to be. And am I scared that I'm going to lose a friendship, a relationship? Am I not going to?
And I also think there's a vulnerability in our being transparent too.
Yes.
Well, because then I think there's a fear of, hold on, I have to sneeze.
Oh, bless you.
Excuse me.
Is it just one? There it is.
I always sneeze more than once. I had a third grade teacher once, and every time she would sneeze, we would start counting.
Like
because
six
it
or
was
seven times.
Never one. One time she got up to nine.
Nice.
At any rate, I feel like, let's just take your case for example. Sometimes you avoid conversations, and I know that right now you're saying because you don't want to hurt the other person, or you don't.
No, I don't want to lose.
Or like, you don't want to lose.
It's not the lose the conversation. It's lose the value in the relationship or devalue the relationship, and that uncertainty of if I say this or if I ask for this. Is that going to deteriorate or decay part of the relationship? And just like from our last podcast a couple of days ago about blowing off steam, mm-hmm. when you actually have the communication skills to
navigate those tough conversations.
Yes, and articulate, like if you can slow down and think about what your true need is, true desire is, then you can communicate nonviolently. It isn't aggressive. It isn't... poking it, you
that
are able
true.
To just really nail down. This is what I would like to see from this. Is that something we can gain agreement on, like between us? And then you actually build the relationship, which is so powerful.
So for you, it's usually you procrastinate things that have to do with relationships.
Yeah, and it was the uncertainty was really going back to the fear and the vulnerability was my. Fear of not knowing enough and not being able to communicate well.
That is so good. I think that hits home for a lot of people. And for me, my procrastination usually has to do with expressing my art to the world, expressing my wisdom to the world. Jason and I have been working on a course, and I will find everything else in the house to do at that time.
And I go clean.
I'm like, oh gosh, you know what? I got to unload the dishes first. I got to fold some laundry.
Let me check the dishes and see if any of these in the cabinet could be cleaned again.
You know what? Let me mop the floor. We'll do it after I mop the floor, okay, honey?
Yeah.
I put that off so much. And it's not because I'm not excited about it. It's not because I'm not passionate about it. It's because there is there's a fear of putting it out and it not being good enough.
A what if?
And then that comes back to, well, am I spinning positive? Am I looking at the possibilities or am I looking at the
probabilities or the what the other 99% look at is how can this go wrong?
Yes. Am I looking at what can go right? Because I have confidence in us, but there's something there. I will procrastinate because I have a fear of disappointing myself.
Mm.
It's not like I've really done a lot of work around this. It's not even about disappointing other people. It's I have expectations and in my life, so many times people say, Jana, lower your expectations.
And you always say, raise your standards.
And I'm like, raise your standards. However, I'm realizing with myself, a lot of times I become paralyzed with fear, doubt, and uncertainty, which is so ironic that I use that word, but I do. I become paralyzed with fear, doubt, and uncertainty because I don't want to disappoint
you.
Me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to disappoint God.
Yeah.
I feel like God is like, Jana, it's your turn. This is what you're supposed to do. Like he finally gives me that clear communication. And then I'm like,
what if?
Why can't you just do it for me? Just do it for me. Yes. I know you can move mountains. That's so, right. Hey.
Yeah. I'll wait for the Amazon guy to bring it. You just send it.
Yes. Yes. I've told you over and over, you know that I'm serious about this. Can't you just make it happen? Yeah. There's one layer of challenge left to get through. And that challenge for me is, are you willing to bet
on yourself?
On yourself.
Yeah. And for me, I when I hear that, it makes me think of the 80-20 rule. And a lot of times, because you get 80% of your results from 20% of your work. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times procrastinators are going to fill the space with a lot of different things because they don't want to do the big thing, or they don't want to do the thing that they're called to do or need to do. I've got something in the back of my throat.
There's something happening here.
And that would be happening if you're not procrastinating, right?
Okay. So before we go any further, let's talk about what are the tangible ways that either people procrastinate or how they can break through that barrier.
Yeah. So I was talking to the coach, and the synopsis came out that there's four types of people. There's a planner, a prioritizer, an arranger, and a visualizer.
Okay.
And each one of them has
Can you be a little bit of all of them?
I think you can. So this is the ideal anti-procrastination daily routine for these people.
Okay. Talk
to me. So the planner is plan out your day hour by hour. Do some deep work for 2 hours. So that kind of clears your mind. Mm-hmm. Kind of like clearing your schedule, clearing your mind.
I've actually done that. And I have these little calendar things that sometimes I print out. And I'll even put hour by hour. Okay, this is what I need to be doing this hour. Now, I rarely stick to it. So because I find cleaning and other things, I want to clean off my desk to fill the space. So go ahead.
Yeah. Then take some stretching breaks. And what this does is it also kind of... it opens up your space, opens up your availability for receivership and imagination. And then also it kind of subconsciously puts your mind into a state of, okay, I'm going to do this. It is a stretch for me and I'm going to get it done. And then work on lighter tasks first.
Just real quickly, I have a quick little quip that I want to put in here. Yesterday I was taking out the trash and I totally biffed it. Like I totally fell. And some of you know I have a bum wheel right now. So I was going down the curb and I totally fell with the trash can. It went all over. And I see these two ladies coming.
Wheelchair goes sliding out.
Yes. I see these two ladies coming and I think, oh my God, they're going to want to help me. And they're just these two little petite ladies and it's going to be awkward. And so I did not want to face that whole interaction. For some reason, I was procrastinating. That whole interaction, it was avoidance is what it was. So I literally pretended that I was stretching at the end of my driveway. Like,
can we help you?
I'm like, no, I'm just stretching. No, I'm just stretching. Doing my morning stretches.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
When you said stretch, that cracked me up. Okay, what are the others?
So prioritizer is to write a to-do list, organize your calendar, start with the hardest task first, and then do deep work for 2 hours. The arranger, tidy up your space.
Oh, that's me.
Brain dump your thoughts.
That's me.
Get all your admin work sorted.
That's me.
And then work on more challenging tasks.
Yeah, like I'll come over here to write a chapter in my book, and next thing you know, I'm checking my emails, tidying up my computer screen. Like, oh gosh, these folders, there's just so many files, and I could probably get rid of some of these. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
And then you've got the visualizer, which I think is me, is decide on a priority for the day, write in your journal, use the Pomodoro technique, and then end the day with light tasks.
I have no idea what the Pomodoro is.
I'm pretty sure that's just the 80-20 rule. Okay. So what's going to get you 80% of your results? Do the 20%. Do that 20% that's going to get you the biggest results.
That applies to a lot of things in life. The biggest nugget that I feel that we've given today is that procrastination is just emotion management. That is all we're doing. And so if we can be willing to drop the ego and step through these emotions, actually feel the feeling.
Process it.
Feel the feeling and realize, what is it that I really want? Do I want to write this book? Then I'm going to need to sit down and be willing to put it out to the world. And if they reject it, that's okay. That's okay. Because you know what? I wrote it for my soul.
Yes.
And the art and the fun of writing my stories.
I valued it, so I invested in it.
Yes.
And that's where it is. It's like, okay, so if we're prioritizing throughout the day and you have a task or you have something that you're putting off, then where are you valuing that?
Yes.
Because if you value it, you invest in it.
And also, I just need to remember that here I'm thinking, well, what if they don't like it? Well, what if they love it?
Yeah.
What if it helps a lot of people? Thank you. All right. I love this. I feel lucky. How about you?
And we love you. I feel lucky. And you should keep feeling lucky and keep joining us. Thank you every morning.
Bye-bye. If the idea of living lucky appeals to you, visit us at startlivinglucky.com.